Hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Banner of Truth Family Church, and welcome to Back to Church Sunday. Amen. Come on, let's give it up. Back to Church Sunday. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we welcome you to this place. We welcome God's Spirit in this place. Hey, if you've never been here before, I hope that you are able to walk out of here blessed and encouraged and energized and ready to go out and to do what you have in your heart to do. I thank God for you visiting us today. Do we have any visitors in the house today? Anybody here for the first time? I see one. Praise God. Any other visitors? Hallelujah. Oh, awesome. Praise God. Awesome. I got to make sure I'm looking all the way through. Anybody else? I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. I just want to see that we have some visitors. I want to know that our folks are doing their job, all right? All right? So if you've been here before, but you're not a member, hey, you're welcome to be here. You're all welcome to be here. I just thank God for you as well. Thank God for visitors and those that you've been visiting regularly. We thank God for you and glad that you're here today. Praise God. Today is a special day in which we are actually taking part in a movement in our country. There are thousands of churches all over this country right now that are doing the same thing that we're doing right now, celebrating Back to Church Sunday. Amen. And so we are just excited for you to be here. We're excited for you to be visiting with us, and we want you to feel welcome today. And like I said, this is a movement that is happening all over our country where churches are saying, hey, you know what? Let's do what we need to do and do what God has called for us to do and show the love of Jesus Christ and invite people to come and be with us and fellowship with us and worship with us, worship God together. Amen? Praise God. And so I'm excited about that today. I prepared that I want to share today. But first and foremost, I would like to pray, and then we'll get right into that message. All right? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. After I pray, we're going to dismiss the kids as well. All right? Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for your peace, your anointing that's in this place. Thank you that as the people hear the word today, Lord, that it will be something that will be very meaningful to them, something that they can take with, that will encourage their hearts, that will give them that confidence and that strength that they need to go out and into this world. Lord, I thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard their hearts and minds in Jesus' precious name. Now bless this service, bless this message, and Lord, we give you all the glory and all in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So the kids are dismissed for children's church. Amen. Let's give them a hand as they go forward. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And hey, listen, when that happens, when the kids get up to go out, there ends up being some seats that are kind of in the middle and stuff. And so feel free to move up closer. Move up closer. That's okay to do that. We actually got some seats up here. If somebody wants to come up here, we can move up here in the front. These seats will not bite. They will not bite. They are open. So if anyone wants to sit in those seats, they're welcome to do that. Praise God. All right, so the other thing I want to mention to you as well is after the service, we have something very special for our visitors. If you are a visitor today, if this is your first time today, we want you to feel welcome. We actually have, not only do we have some packets that we want to give out to you, if you haven't already got one when you came in, we have a packet, a welcome packet that we can give to you. And our usher, we have an usher that has one, and she's holding that up so you can see. But we also have some refreshments at the end of service. And so don't quite get away right after the service, because we want to be able to hook you up with some cake. Is that all right? Y'all like cake? Amen. I like cake. Can you tell? Right. Amen. Somebody said yes. I heard an amen. Who said that? Right. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's the truth anyhow, right? Amen. So we have refreshments for you that we prepared specifically for you. And we want to get to know you. We want to meet you and to be able to let you know that we really appreciate you being here today. All right, is that okay? All right, praise God. Well, we're going to get right into the word. And the theme that we're focusing on today and actually in next week is together. Together is the theme for our Back to Church Sunday. And as I thought about togetherness and what it means for us as followers of Jesus Christ, I thought about, believe it or not, I thought about Legos. Legos. Hey, what in the world? Pastor, you was tripping today. Y'all know, listen, hear me out. Legos. That's right. You know that favorite childhood toy, right? Those small plastic bricks with little raised circles. Who could imagine that these pieces of plastic are worth billions of dollars? Literally a fortune. The Danish toy company that began in the 1930s, has built a Lego empire around building the bricks that they introduced in the 1950s. Individually, Legos are just cheap pieces of plastic. And I might add, the cause of great distress to parents who in the darkness of night, can I get an amen for that, right? Step on that lone Lego on the bedroom floor. But despite their basic design, the secret is in the way that they fit together. They fit together. Legos are designed to be together. That's what those little raised circles are actually for, to attach each brick to one another. And together, these plastic pieces can be made into fantastic creations, like full-scale models of castles and cars and airplanes and spaceships have all been built from Legos. Now, I've never been to one of those Legoland theme parks. But I've heard that they have actually scaled replicas of the world's most famous buildings and landmarks. It seems that Legos can be put together to create almost anything. And they are just pieces of plastic, right? Together they create something much bigger and better than the sum of their parts. So, which brings me to my next point. The church is kind of like Legos. Wow. We're kind of like Legos. We're a collection of individuals, a collection of various sizes, shapes, and colors. Individually, we may not be much to look at or kind of a big jumble at a glance. But when we come together the way God intended for us to come together, we form the church. Collectively, we form the church, which is a creation much greater than the individual members. The church is God's bride, is Jesus' bride. See, God takes our chaos, and by his design, he makes something spectacular, and he gives us See, I realize that I am not complete away from God's church. I'm not complete away from God's people. But when I'm together with the people of God, when I'm together and flowing in harmony with God's people, I sense my purpose. That's what the church is all about. See, in real life, this concept is powerful. And it's life-changing. Christ invites us to be together with himself and together with one another. And together, we are on this journey of transformation. Hallelujah. As we celebrate Back to Church Sunday today, I hope that we experience today that today is just the beginning. It's just a taste of the beginning of us belonging and we can experience that togetherness here. It's just the beginning. And I just want to share an invitation for those that may have be here for the first time, an invitation for you to come back to hear more. Amen. Whether you're a regular member or a first-time visitor or on the fence about church, I invite you to commit to joining us next week, where we will continue to explore the concept together and what it means for us individually and as a church and as a part of our world as a whole. We will discover together how we experience peace, how we experience love, strength, and purpose as we explore these themes. We're gonna explore that together we can find true peace and love in God's church. And we're also gonna discover that together we are able to grow stronger and we can change the world in His church. See, we're stronger together. We can do more together than we can by ourselves. God actually created us for community. He created mankind for unity, for us to be able to walk together and function together. He said it's not good for man to be alone. So let's look at a roadmap here. We're going to actually look at the Bible and see that this stuff that Pastor is talking about is not just something he's making up, right? This is something that is in the Word of God, amen? So if you have your Bibles with you today, if you would turn to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to camp there for the next couple weeks, and we're going to look at some inspiration that the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, gave to the Apostle Paul. And actually, he gave it to him while he was in prison. While he was in jail, God spoke to the Apostle Paul. So while in prison in Rome, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to a group of believers in the city of Ephesus about 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. That letter is the New Testament book of Ephesians. It's a short book of the Bible. It's just 6 chapters. But it's a beautiful and powerful book, and togetherness is a theme that Paul comes back to again and again in that book. Now, the people of Ephesus did not have smartphones. They didn't have internet. They didn't have TV and radio. They didn't have any of that stuff back then. And you guys know that, right? Now, although they didn't have all that stuff, Paul wrote to them in a letter. And the people received that letter, and they did so by gathering together and listening to the letter being read. And when it came to processing and thinking through what that letter meant and understanding what the letter meant, the people of Ephesus and all of the early church did so together. Together, they listened and learned and shared and discussed and wrestled and thought through, and the Holy Spirit dealt with them about the challenges of living out their faith in Christ in the midst of a culture in a vastly different way. So we will be following their lead together today. All right? So, does anybody know where Ephesus is or was? Anybody? I thought you'd say that. Right. If you search it on the Google map, your first hits might include a city in the state of Georgia, an elementary school in North Carolina, and a Mediterranean food restaurant in Houston, Texas. If you keep scrolling, you might eventually find the ruins of Ephesus, which are located at the site of the ancient city and which is now called modern-day Turkey. But no one in Paul's time would have needed to look it up. The reason why is because the port city of Ephesus was once considered the most important Greek city and an important trading city in the Mediterranean area. It was booming. This city, it was where everything was happening, right then and there. If you wanted to know what the latest thing was, what was going on, and where all the money was being made and all the things, the booming in city, the biggest town, think of the biggest town you can think of right now. That was Ephesus at that time. Like, somebody said, like Rockford. Amen. God bless my city. God bless my city. But yeah, it would be like in Manhattan. It'd be like New York, right? So the Romans made it a provincial capital, actually. And it was home to the Temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. So Ephesus was big and it was bustling, with many people coming and going to worship or do business or pass from one region to another. And in the early history of the church, Ephesus became a place of evangelism where the gospel spread quickly and many people came to be believers in the middle of all of that. Now, Paul knew the culture. He knew the challenges. And he knew the culture and the challenges that this group was faced up against as believers. He knew that they were a multi-ethnic group surrounded and challenged by other ideas, other beliefs, and other practices. Not unlike our church today. The church at Ephesus needed the strength of unity to grow and survive. We need each other today to grow and survive. Now, Paul wrote this letter to encourage and to instruct the young church, and he instructed the letter in a way that is easy to follow. The first half of Ephesus basically looks at the gospel story and how Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection, how it changed the world. Part one describes God's redemption plan to bring humans together with himself through Jesus Christ. Now, part two then gets very practical, and it talks about how we should live in response to God's grace and relate with one another. That second half of the book focuses in on how the gospel story changes our lives. Now, in us following the lead of the Ephesians, we will spend our first looking at the peace and love that were given to us through the life and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Then we're going to look at how, in the light of the gospel, we can grow stronger together and impact our world together. See, our world seeks peace in so many different ways. Everybody is looking for peace. I would argue and say that everybody is looking for some type of peace in their life. See, our world is actually seeking, but they're seeking so many different ways. We seek peace among nations, peace in our cities. We seek peace in our families. We seek peace in our churches. We seek peace in our own minds and in our own hearts. Now, as we explore the concept that together we find peace, let's dive into Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. And Paul writes this letter to the Ephesians. He says, Christ came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him too, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So we see here that Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians that in him, in Jesus, we have peace and unity. Thank you. In him, we know we are foreigners. We are no longer strangers. In him. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever find yourself or those you know searching for a place to belong? Searching for a way to be part of something bigger than yourself. Yeah. I know I have. Where do you experience that sense of belonging? See, Paul says that the body of Christ, the church, is a place of belonging. Rooted in the restoration and unity brought by Jesus Christ. The church. The church. After a short introduction, Paul takes us directly into the central issue of togetherness in Ephesians chapter 2. Unity and foundation to this unity is grace. Foundation to this unity is grace. See, nobody can claim a higher position or status in the kingdom of God because all believers are of the same status. He's no respecter of persons. That ought to help somebody today. That ought to encourage somebody that he loves you. He doesn't love me any more than he loves you. He loves us all the same. See, we all start as sinners and need grace. Thank God for his grace that saves us and forgives us of sin. You may be wondering, well, man, but, you know, he loves me? Why me? Yes, he loves you. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor Philip. You don't know what I've done. I've done some terrible things in my life. I've done some terrible, terrible, terrible things in my life. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve that love. I'm telling you, he loves you. He loves you, and he's chasing after you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. You know, and I was having a conversation with a brother this week, and we were talking about things of this nature, about God's love for us and how he pursues us and how he loves us no matter what, and how he, a lot of times, he'll deliver us out of situations again and again and again. And it's like, you know, why do I deserve this? Why is he keep saving me and helping me out of situations? You know, and you hear people say things like, well, you know, man, God must have a plan for you, you know. I kind of pause to that statement because somehow, some way, that statement to me suggests that for people that he doesn't have a plan for, he'll just let things happen to them. See, God is no respecter of persons. See, yes, he may have a plan for you. But there might be someone who he may not have a specific big, huge assignment for their life. He may just love them just because. That's why I did that for you, because I love you. So don't worry about, God loves you. He cares for you no matter what. You can count on that love. You can count on that love. Amen? Does that help anybody today? Thank God for his grace that saves us, that forgives us from our sin. Now, earlier in chapter 2, Paul emphasizes the fact that the very life we receive from God is only because of God's grace. You know the verses, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. See, it's undeserved. There's nothing that we could do to deserve it. But hey, once we get that grace, we need to appreciate that and we need to be grateful for that. Amen? We don't need to abuse that grace. But understand that there's nothing that you and I could ever do that could ever earn that grace. That's why I can say God is good all the time. No matter what, God is good. See, grace does not allow exclusion. Instead, it brings us together in unity. Paul explains in verses 14 through 16, how Christ's purpose was to unify the major divisions of people, the Jews and the Gentiles. By including these two groups, Paul is basically including everyone. Those who weren't Jews, those who weren't part of God's covenant people, were the Gentiles. But Paul clarified in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." See, in the church of God, in God's church, there is no black, there is no white. Now, understand, God created black. He created white. He created Hispanic. He created Asian. He created all these different nationalities. And we can be proud of the fact that, hey, you know, this is how God created me. But we must understand that we are all a part of his family. We're a part of his family. Amen? So, in the kingdom of God, there is no black church. There is no white church. There is no XYZ church. There is the church. And Paul is trying to bring this out. He's like, hey, listen, guys, look, we don't have room here to be trying to play favorites. Because it's by grace that we make it into this thing. He himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By coming to save the world, all people of the world, Jesus broke down the deepest divisions of eternity between God and man. And the deepest divisions of humanity between God's covenant people and other people. In other words, God's grace, his love, his favor is available for all mankind. No matter who you are, all you got to do is reach out to him and accept that love, accept that grace. Amen? By coming to the saved world, all people of the world, Jesus broke down, I did go over that, in doing away with that separation, Jesus brought peace. He brought real, lasting, ultimate peace. Now, obviously, that peace will not be complete and realized until it turns to complete God's ultimate restoration. But through Jesus' death and resurrection, the door to peace is open to us all. And it opens up to unity as a definitive characteristic of God's people. What would happen in our lives? What would happen in our communities? What would happen in our church if it was a place that we could come together and in peace, we could come together and allow God to remove all the walls of division in our community and in our churches? And I've heard people say things like this, like Sunday is the most divided time of the week. You ever heard that before? That ought not be so. What would happen in our community? Church, actually begin to work together. We're talking about an explosion of God's love, an explosion of God's power that would take place all over our communities, all over our cities. Amen. What would happen if the church was a place to come together in peace and allow God to remove all those barriers? How would this change our church body right here in Banner Tree Family Church? How would it change? How should it? How are we doing, church? Let's be a people of unity. Amen? Let's be a people of grace. Let's be a people of peace. See, in God's presence is his peace. In God's presence is his joy. He is our peace. See, people are going around searching for peace, and he's there all along saying, come to me, I'll give you rest. He is our peace. But that's much easier to say than to do sometimes, isn't it? See, we live in a world that seems increasingly full of discord. News stories are demonstrating every day that as a population, we struggle with anxiety. We struggle with depression like never before, and isolation. Headlines proclaim divisions and conflicts of all sorts, from personal disagreements to political wars, both ideology and physically. People are constantly combating over issues. In our day and age, we need peace. People are searching for peace. Paul is crystal clear in verse 14 that Christ himself is our peace. See, peace is not a thing. Peace is a person. I'll say it again. Peace is not a thing. Peace is a person. See, we find peace both personally and as a body in the relationship with Jesus Christ. And we experience it as a fruit of God's Spirit living in and through us. As Paul describes in Galatians 5 and 22, peace isn't something we can create in ourselves. The Holy Spirit in us brings peace and enables us to live that peace out. See, it's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you as the believer that is able to bring out that peace. And he's able to receive that peace from God when we open ourselves up to him. And that peace that passes all understanding begins to guard our hearts and our minds. See, sometimes we try to do things outward to try to get that peace. Yeah, a lot of us, that's how we get back out there. But we experience this peace of God's Spirit living on the inside of us. And the Holy Spirit in us brings peace and enables us to live it outwardly. See, it's coming from the inside out. Amen? So, we need to recognize that we're not alone. We are citizens, we are family, and most importantly, a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now, while our struggles do not magically disappear, together, in the middle of our struggles, we can experience peace. Amen? In the middle of those struggles. See, that's supernatural. That's not something that we can create and muster, because naturally speaking, that's impossible because we're going through some really tough stuff. But in the middle of that, God's peace is activated and he's helping us. Yeah, how many witnesses? How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. What does peace look like in your life this week? What does it look like in your life this week? I can tell you first what it doesn't look like. Peace is not ignoring differences, conflict, or reality. Peace is not an image to be upheld or a feeling to be pursued. Peace is a person. Man, the Bible says he will keep you in perfect peace. See, peace is the presence of God in his people. See, when we all come, see, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, but when we collectively come together, oh my goodness. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Peace is the very presence of God in his people. And his presence through the Holy Spirit enables us to experience peace and to remind each other and the world around us that he is the source of all of our peace. See, there are going to be people who are going to be watching you and watching how you're going through these circumstances, how you're going through these struggles and challenges. And they're going to see that you haven't lost your mind. You're still moving. You're still going. You haven't let up. And they're wondering, man, how in the world is she keeping it together? How is he not flipping the script on everything and just blowing up? What's going on? Well, you need to tell them. It's the peace of God that's keeping you. See, the peace, it doesn't promise you that there won't be struggles. He doesn't promise you that there won't be trials. Matter of fact, he tells you. He says, look, count it all joy when you go through. Right? But we look to him as our peace as we go through it. And it'll be a testimony to our friends, to our family, to our loved ones. See, when they think, oh, yeah, surely they're going to crack now. You know, if I just kind of just nudge at them, yeah, we'll see them. We'll see them blow up. And they'll try to push your buttons. You keep standing. I don't know who that is for today, but you keep standing. See, where anxiety and fear are strongest, we can be a living reminder that God cares for the details of our lives. He cares for each and every minute detail. He cares. He cares. And not only does he care for you, but he cares for everyone else in the world. He cares for the redemptive story of the world. And we can rest in the peace that comes from knowing he will care for us just as he does the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Just like he takes care of the birds of the air. They never worry about what they're going to eat. Right? Just like he takes care for them, he'll take care for you and I. But we need reminders sometimes, don't we, about that? I know I do. There's times I need a reminder about the fact that, hey, he's got me. I'm going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Many times I'll say that to my wife. We're going to be all right. How can you be sure about that? I know. We're going to be all right. We're going to be good. Yeah. Amen. But we all need reminders. We all need encouragement. We all need that support. That's the beauty of the church. We can come together and support one another and encourage one another. We all need others to relate with in unity. And share peace and bring it into a world that needs it. That's where the church comes in. Paul closes in Ephesians chapter 2 with this. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. See, God's Spirit lives through the church. Now, like those Legos, remember those Legos I was talking about? Like those Legos. Fit together to form the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit fills and enables us with the peace of Christ. That's why it's so important for us to come together corporately. Now, we are the body of the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Understand, when we come together corporately, there's a whole nother level. There's a whole another manifestation of God's Spirit when we come together. You understand that? So why do we come back to church? Why do we invite others to join us? Because coming together here does not just put us in the church. Instead, it is here that we realize that we are the church. And as the church, God dwells with us. Like Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them. See, there's power in unity. There's power when we come together. It manifests his power when we collectively come together. So we come together to live and worship in unity, to collectively turn our focus to Jesus and experience the source of our peace, and to offer the way of peace to the world. Together, we are so much greater than the sum of our parts. Together, we encourage and support each other. When we are weak, when we come together, we become strong. Together, we reflect the nature and relationship of God. Together. You say that with me. Together. Together. Amen. One more thing I want to get across today is that together we experience love. Together we experience love. Just like people are looking for peace, they're also looking for love in their lives. I want to do something. I want to do something real quick before I close out. I want to play a little game. Can we play a little game? All right. All right. So some things just go together. They just go together, right? So we're going to play a little word game today. All right? I'm going to say a word, and I want you to say the first word that pops in your head. You just call it out, right? Just call it out. All right. All right, here we go. Salt and pepper. Oh, man, I'm... You see that? He said garlic. All right, let's try it again. I'm going to say a word and then you finish it, all right? Peanut butter. Yes. Batman.
Robin.
Adam.
Eve.
Hyde. Hide and seek, right? Man, what's going on, man? All right. Here's one more. Pros. See, we could go on all day, right? Going all day. Demonstrating, we could go on all day and demonstrate how powerful certain words can go together. So how certain things can go together. How things have become so closely associated that they are inseparable. Now, let me ask you one more thing. What do you think about when you hear the word church? Yeah. What about love? You may have a word that comes to mind, but it's not likely the same for everyone. There is no one inseparable association. When I said, it was so close together. When I said salt, I said pepper. I mean, I just said it, right? It's just right away, right? Depending on your experience, depending on the association, It could be positive, it could be negative, or somewhere in between. But what if the word that automatically came to mind with church was love? I want to challenge us as a church to consider what it would take to build and to actually build an inseparable link between the word church and love. See, we need to express that love. The love of God must be expressed through his church. So that when the world hears the word church, they immediately associate it with God's love. That's a tough challenge. So how do we get there? Perhaps the first step is that we, together as the church, must experience the love of God. Actually experience the love of God. I'm going to read a couple more verses, and then I do have to close. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul again, he writes, as it all comes back to God's amazing love and the life-giving work that flows out of it, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long, how deep, how high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. You don't even have to think about it. You just know that he is love. Surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow, what a love. What great imagery Paul uses here to convey God's vast, limitless love. Right? Now, since we play word association today, let's do a little more. I'm going to say a couple phrases and we'll see what we come up with. Wider than I heard a different thing. Maybe the ocean. Wider than the universe. Wider. Wider. See, no matter what the widest thing you can think of, God's love is wider. I'm going to say another one. Longer than time, eternity, life, history. The line at the DMV, longer than that one. Walmart line, right? God's love is, yeah, that's right. God's love is most definitely longer than the line at the DMV. He's longer than the line at Popeye's Chicken, right? And he don't run out of chicken. But longer than all eternity. He's higher than the highest mountain, the moon above. He's deeper than the deepest sea, the deepest ocean. See, it doesn't matter what you fill in the blanks for your answer. God's love is wider, longer, higher, deeper. It is eternally vast and powerful. And as Paul says, it surpasses knowledge. That's a Bible writer's way of saying it blows your mind. Right? His love. See, this is the love that we can experience and that we can model together in the church. You see, the thing about love is it's relational. It is meant to be shared and it is meant to be experienced together. God's love. Amen. A couple more things I want to share. I got to skip down because we are running out of time. But I want to cover three ways that we can experience God's love, and we can administer God's love in the context of the church, all right? And so I want to share with you what I call they're called the three C's. The three C's. And whether you are new to our church body or have been here for years, these can be doors to relationship and impact in your life. the three C's. So the first one is connection, the second one is comfort, and the third is collaboration. Connection, comfort, and collaboration. So connection, are you plugged in? Where would you like to be? As a church, we can be good at offering opportunities to meet together for various reasons. We offer small groups and classes and family outings and more, and we do all kinds of stuff. But at the end of the day, what's most important is relationship building, building relationships. It's always the goal. We don't just do stuff to do stuff. It's all about the relationships, right? But we all must take the first step. Now, let me encourage and challenge all of us. If you're just filling a chair on Sunday morning, plug in. Show up. I'm confident that you will find a place of belonging, growth, and service, and common purpose if you plug in. Amen? If you are already involved in some way, let me encourage and challenge you to look around. Open yourself up and reach out to those who are seeking their place. Let's all look for ways to better love each other and to share that love beyond ourselves at Banner of Truth Family Church. You know, we have some special small groups that we're going to be launching next month. And I want to encourage each and every person that's here in this room to be a part of those small groups. Amen. And I want to invite those that may be visitors. You're welcome. You don't have to be a member of the church. You are welcome to come and be a part of those small groups. And we build relationship together and we study the Bible together and we have fun together. It's all about building relationship with God and with each other. Comfort was the next one that I talked about. There's no doubt we could go around this room and hear from every single one of us stories of pain, stories of struggle, and heartache. This life isn't easy, would you agree? And we all pass through seasons of great difficulty and need. In the normal rough and tumble of life and in times of greater need, we need each other. And as a church, we want to be there for each other, don't we? Whether it's the shoulder to cry on, or a friend, or the rallying of tangible support through a ministry such as a prayer team or the visitation team. We are on this journey and in this life together. Right. Amen. Together. Amen. The third that I want to bring out is collaboration. Collaboration. It is working together towards a purpose. From meeting others' needs like we just mentioned, to harnessing our skills and abilities towards a common goal, we have the ability and opportunity to serve and to make a real difference in our lives. This often begins in a small group and ministry efforts. I've heard stories in our church where there are friendships today as a result of people coming together and being a part of a small group. People that didn't even know each other before that, and they come together and they're like just great friends, and it's been years of friendship as a result of that. See, stuff like that is what I want to happen. I want relationships to be formed. God wants real relationship to be formed. Amen? And so it might be focused around shared interests like music or art or shared experience like a conference or mission trip or a common project like cleaning or neighborhood park or serving the homeless, just doing activities together, collaborating together. We are greater than the sum of our parts. We are able to find fulfillment in the expression of our God-given gifts and talents, and doing so, we are able to worship through the expression of the people God has made us. Together. Whatever place or way you choose to plug in, it is love that guides and unifies us in our efforts. And it is Christ living in us that allows his love to grow in and flow through us. Would you agree? It has always been God's plan for people to experience his peace and to be bound together in love. See, we cannot underestimate the importance of love both within the church and in our interactions with the world around us. In another of Paul's letters to the early believers, he wrote, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is love." 1 Corinthians 13. So let's carry that with us as we leave this place today. And may we as a church always be known by our love. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word today. Thank you for reminding us that you are the God of all peace. You are the God of all comfort. Thank you for letting us know that you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Thank you for the church. Thank you that as we come together as the church, that you are there in our midst. We thank you for sending us your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you that all we have to do is reach out to you and accept you as our Lord and Savior. And you welcome us. You receive us with open arms. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You heal the brokenhearted. I thank you for that, Lord. Now, dear Heavenly Father, as I pray today, Lord, there might be people here today that don't know you as their personal Savior. But they've heard this message and they've heard maybe someone have been encouraged in their heart that there is hope, there is an answer to the peace that maybe they're not seeing in their life right now or they're not seeing in the world. But they're seeing that, hey, God is really saying something to me today. And you may be in this place right now and you feel a sense that you're ready to receive Jesus Christ today. And I want to let you know that if you are sincere about this and if you are ready to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to ask you to take a step and pray with me today. Matter of fact, everybody in this room, if you have a desire to, you can pray this prayer along with me. But if you just repeat after me, "Dear Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. I confess my sins. I'm not proud of what I've done, but I acknowledge them today as sin. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me, for arising from the dead for me. I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior. Thank you for saving my life." Amen.